Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Supplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, the proselyte, from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word. Your word is truth. We just pray as a church, Lord, that we would listen and hear not only the warning, but also the encouragement. Strengthen this body, strengthen the church, Lord, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message is A Healthy Church. Now, there was a church in Dallas that they came to a place that they just couldn't resolve their differences. So they had to decide who was going to keep the property and the church because they were dividing. So what they did was they went to the local authorities and hired lawyers, went before a judge, discussed the reason why that they are the ones that should be able to keep the property. The judge very wisely thought, you know what, this isn't for me. So he gave it to the church denomination, headship, to make the decision. So eventually they heard both sides and the denomination decided on one side, got the property in the church, and the other started another church in the same town, distance away. But the problem was the reason why they separated. See, they had a church dinner and the elder, prominent elder, was sitting next to a child. And as they were handing out the food, the elder noticed that the child to his left got a bigger piece of ham than he did. And so that started the snowball and the division. Can you imagine as the local press got wind of this? Oh, I know, you smirk. Because actually it does happen time and time again. Churches have divided because of the choosing of the carpeting. Just paint on the wall. I mean, a whole bunch of silly reasons. Why? Well, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to see something here because, again, what Satan likes to do is divide. He likes to divide and separate. We've seen this tactic before. But again, we see it here. And it's really a key thing because this brand new body had to make decisions. What was it? Well, see, the Hellenists, they were, if you will, excuse me for a second, the Greek cultured Jew that lived outside of Judea. They came to faith. Where the Hebrews were, again, the Aramaic Hebrew teaching, basically, Jew that became Christians. Now, before this even, the Hebrew Jew would look down upon the cultured Hellenists because they were influenced by the Greek culture. So now the question is, did it come into the church that's prejudice? See, the discussion and the argument is that, well, hey, we're noticing something here that the distribution to the widows, which the church is supposed to take care of, the widows and the children, that actually the Hebrew-speaking widow was getting more of the funds and recognition than the Hellenists. Oh, problem number one, how to solve it? Well, this is what we're going to see. So if you will, we're going to see six reasons or six things that brings to a healthy church. Understand something. Problems arise. That's just life. Well, that's human nature. How many of you have houses that you never have any discussions or arguments or problems? Do you think the church is going to be any different? But it's how we resolve those problems. And it's the understanding of what is the key ingredients to a healthy church. So the first thing I want you to take notice of is verse 1. Now in those days when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint. Now wait a minute. The number of what? Disciples. The word disciple means a pupil or a learner. Who's the disciple? The whole church. They're all pupils. They're all learners. Don't miss it. Even the apostles were disciples. We're all teachable. We should be. We're all learning. We should be growing. Growing in our understanding of who God is. That's the first key. Is look around you. You see a fellow student. Doesn't matter the age. We're all being taught to grow and learn in our faith. When we have this mindset that we're all on the same even plane, then that takes away a lot of problems, doesn't it? Just as we spoke of the elder, he sure realized that child was just as important as him. Now, so that's the first thing we notice. Notice the word complaint. You know what that means? It means to murmur. Now, we learn this word from the Old Testament. What do the Israelites do a lot? They murmured. Murmur, 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 murmur. It's a secret displeasure, if you will. It's not coming out and saying, hey, this is the problem we're having. No, there was just a complaint that was just kind of simmering underneath everything. What was going to happen here? Now, take note, again, we see Hellenists and we see the Jew that's in the Hebrew Jew, I should say. So there's a difference here. And the Gentiles are going to come into the fellowship too. So what do we learn here? Number two thing is to understand is the church is a variety of different people. Not all the same. Not cookie cutter. And you know, when I was a young lad I could remember remembering the church services they would show on the television. And I would look and I would see all these people, all these kids, all sitting, standing there with suits on and singing and such, with a smile on their face and everything else. And I was like, I am nothing like that. And if that's the way the church is, I don't belong in the church. That's not the group I hung out with. And that was really the caricature that we had in the 70s about churchgoers there for a while. That they were just perfect kids. Well, that's not the point. And that's not the case. The church is a variety of people. And what happened in the 60s and early 70s were these long-haired kids started coming into the church. They didn't have shoes on and they were just coming. And it was like, what are you doing? You're messing up the carpet. You're doing this. No, the whole point is they were coming. And the church is made up of all different kinds of people. All different walks of life, all everywhere. In fact, even the Bible tells us that there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, but we're all one in Christ. And see, it's the understanding of that too, we'll get into a little more, is that this is Christ's church. It's not your church. It's not my church. This is Christ's church. Hey, and may I say this? And don't get me wrong, and it's fine, but we don't focus on one group of people. I know most of you are homeschooled, and that's good. That's fine. But it doesn't mean if somebody comes in here from a public school, we all look at them and say, oh, you go to a public school and that's where your kids go? No, 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 not here. No, no, no. You need to homeschool. No. That is the responsibility of every parent to understand something. How their kids can grow and mature. And please, don't misunderstand me. I know that somebody's looking for a church that has homeschool people. And that's fine. You include them. Invite them, of course. Invite everybody. Anybody. And it's okay. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I am trying to converse to you is the fact that we're all different. From all different walks of life. All different stages. We're not to pigeonhole a certain age group, a certain group. No, all are welcome in Christ. So if somebody comes in here with whatever, tattoos, we used to have people with tattoos. It's funny because anybody I say here, we've had in this church. Why have they gone on? It's because we've separated because of various reasons? No, we've separated because they've either moved on to different cities or maybe even just a different growth in their life and they went somewhere else. And that's fine. When God is leading people elsewhere, that's great. But it's when the flesh, we'll talk about this, separates and divides, that's not good. So we see here what a church that is made up of all different kinds of people. But here is a problem now. Now, whether it was something that was just perceived, it was actually happened because of the prejudice that came in, or it was just a misunderstanding that they didn't notice it, that they were doing that. It could have been any of those things. But the whole thing is how are they going to solve the problem? Look at verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Well, those apostles, who do they think they are? They should have said, "Hey, we'll start." No. See this, if you will, it is of somebody else. He was trying to distract the apostles. Get busy. Look, people need you. You need to get in there with the people and focus on all those problems. Remember Moses? He tried that. What happened? He was going this way, that way, and he didn't know which way to go, did he? Until somebody came in and gave him advice, good advice. Why? Because the apostles were called to do what? Just as it said, teach the word and pray. Pray for this. Pray for this group. We don't know what we're doing here. All we know is what Christ told us and the Spirit leading us. I mean, if you think we have all the answers here, we don't. We're the ones that's supposed to be seeking Him who has all the answers. This isn't our church. This is His church. And if we're going to spend all our time serving tables, then guess what? We're not focusing on what God wants to do here. Now, I have to say something. The priorities have been straight here. You have given me the freedom, really, to just do what I'm supposed to do. And that's to seek God and His Word and His Spirit continually. And I'm thankful for that. And that doesn't mean that I don't get into the certain problems. But I have to tell you, a lot of the things that happen in this church is usually, well, we'll get into that. But again, the priority's there. What is it? The teaching of the Word of God. Because remember something. Number one was what? We're all students here. We're supposed to be learning and growing. Every one of us. Even me. I'm learning. I'm growing every day. I haven't arrived. One day I will, but then you'll be at my funeral. I've arrived finally, but I'm dead. Now I'm home. Until then, I'm still a student just as you are. Constantly having to get my nose in His Word, constantly seeking His guidance. Now, what did they do? If you notice, they needed more leaders. What kind of leaders? Well, again, notice, this is number 4, for a healthy church, it needs leaders. We'll talk about that in a second. What was the priorities? Well, first of all, if you notice, they had to be among them, they had to be believers. Not a professional, they could have done that. You know, they do that sometimes, churches, church growth. They'll bring in these other organizations to come out there and say, "Well, this is how you actually add to your numbers. You need to actually present yourself a little differently here. What's the group you're trying to grab here? What's your niche? What's your focus? We noticed the worship is really good here. So we really should start pushing that." No, you don't bring in somebody from the outside to tell you how to run the church. We don't have these programs to make basically more finances or anything like that. The church has to have leaders that are believers, that are among you, that understand what you're going through. And that's what the apostle said. Find leaders that are among you, that are believers, first and foremost. And now, please, this is the word of God. They need to be men. Why? Because God said so. Why? Because God has called men to lead. That's what God has done. Not better. Remember, the church is made of men and women. We're together. Men aren't better than the women. The women aren't better than the men. But men have been made a certain way that God says, you men lead. And do it right. Get your emotion out of it and think with me, God would say. Do what I say regardless of how you feel. Do it. Because this is the word of God. Now, but then go talk to your wife. Go talk to the ladies. Why? Because their perspective may change your mind. Because understand, they're intuitive and they have an understanding that a lot of times men, we're blockheads. I do not, very rarely, do anything without asking my wife. No, I'm not saying that, oh, wife, can I do this? No, I'm just saying, what do you think? What's your perspective on this? But ultimately, as a family and in this church, I'm the one that's standing before God, and I have to answer to Him. Men, you too. Every one of us stand before Him, and God's going to ask you, how did you lead your family? How did you lead in your church? How did you lead? That's God ordained. See how it's important? I'll do another little plug for the men's. Why we need to get together. We got a heavy responsibility. Heavy. But it's leaders that are believers, that are men, that are of good reputation, that are men of integrity. There are men that are loved and respected because they're not putting themselves first. They're not selfish. They're putting you first. Oh, wait a minute. Doesn't that sound like men that should be not only in the church, but men at home? Putting others' needs before ourselves. That is a leader. That is a man. I'm not putting my selfish needs first before my wife, and she knows that. In fact, she knows just about everything I'm doing now is just in case something happens to me, she's taken care of. That right now is a big priority in my life. Men, we think of others. God says, lead, men! But then He says, think of others first, not yourself. This isn't me getting my way. This is me seeking God, getting your way, actually His way that serves you. As a husband, as a pastor, as a man. Want to hear more? Come tomorrow. Notice too, full of the Holy Spirit. Men that are influenced and guided by His Spirit. Not any whims, not my emotions, not that. Having wisdom, godly wisdom that is able to make practical, sensible decisions. Oh, it happened, you know, it wasn't really that big of a thing, but many years ago when we moved into this building, it was one we were renting. We built a wall. We did all this stuff, put doors in, and they were starting to paint. And it's when I was working full time and also being a pastor full time. So a lot of times I left those decisions on, you know, I would leave those decisions, but I had a man that, before Caleb, that pretty much took the brunt of it a lot of times. But if you knew this guy, he could take it. But one time I remember him calling me and saying, okay, there's this argument about what color to paint the walls. It's like all these voices coming at us. I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Tell them to paint it white. But they're not going to like it. Just tell them it's from me. Paint it white. Now, you think that would be over, right? Well, he goes, okay. So he goes, paint it all white. It's an interesting thing. I came home, my wife comes up to me and goes, we have to paint it all white? I go, yeah, you guys were arguing, just paint it white. What are we doing? It's just paint. She goes, no, we've all come to the same conclusion. We know what color, we want a warm color, and we all came to the same color agreement. Okay, that's fine. Paint it that color. Now, this other guy comes up to me and goes, hey, they're painting it a different color. It's not white. It's okay. I said it was all right. It's just let them have it. It's fine. He goes, oh, okay. Who took the brunt of it? He did, really. But whose final say was it? Mine. Why? For my own selfish reason? No. It's keep peace. It ain't a big deal here, folks. Except that they're painting it a different color, like a pink that's hot, or, you know, it's really bright and dark, or something black. I mean, you know, black wouldn't work very well either. They just wanted a warm color, and that was fine. Some of you were here at the time. You remember. Now, I want you to notice something. Verse 5. Every name mentioned here is Greek. They're all Hellenists. Jews that were influenced by Greek culture. Because the ones that were in Greek culture felt like they were the ones that get in short change. So the group came amongst themselves and said, you know what we need to do here? We need to just give it then to the Christian Greek Jews. Because now they're Christian first. Christian. One of them was a proselyte. What does that mean? He was Greek. That converted to Judaism, that was now a Christian. Interesting. What was they doing here? What was the important solve problem here? The most important thing is just like I just shared with you. They were maintaining the unity of the Spirit first and foremost. What does God want us to do? How do we keep unity? We're one in Christ. That's the most important thing. Understand this, and we do, we understand this. What? See, the Spirit unites. We are all one in Christ. The flesh, it divides. I mean, hey, really, husbands, wives, when you guys are arguing, when we're arguing, what is it usually about? Something in the flesh, isn't it? Flesh divides. Spirit unites. See how simple that is? What divided the one church? Flesh, ham. I want more ham. I can't believe this. I want more ham. Could he not just got up and said, hey, can I have a bigger piece? Or looked at the kid and go, well, you're growing. Keep growing. You need that. I need to lose a few pounds. I'm good. No, it's because it's me. Don't they know I'm the elder? Why, I've been here since the church began. And this is how they reward me? A little piece of ham? Just think what Jesus would say to that man. Be as a child. You as a leader serve. As I have served, you serve. As I put your needs above my own in dying on the cross, you selflessly serve. So again, it's maintaining the unity in the Spirit, understanding flesh separates. What else do we find? Well, notice something. They said, you seek out You seek out among you. You guys get together. Solve this. You have the Spirit. Talk it over. Think it over. Pray it over. But notice something else too here. We know who Stephen is. We'll talk about him in the next chapter. We know who, actually in the next verse, we know who Philip is. We'll talk about him later too. Prochorus, that he's believed to be actually John's secretary, the apostle later on. He's the one that actually wrote for John his epistles and such. What else do we know? Well, tradition again tells us that he became a bishop of a church himself. Again, if tradition is true. Nicholas, maybe. I'm not so dogmatic about him. It doesn't really show, but some believe that he was part of the leaders that started the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans were basically, if you will, well, let's not get into that right now. But they were a cult. Let's just put it that way. Was he or not? We don't know. Honestly, we don't. Poor Nicholas. If this Nicholas didn't do that, then that's the way a lot of churches teach. That was Nicholas's fault. He's probably up there going, no, it wasn't me. Really, it wasn't. Jesus is going, settle down. It'll come clear later. Don't know. But one thing we do know. We don't know anything else about these other three. Never mentioned again in Scripture. But what? Take notice of this. God knew who they were. God knew who was serving. God knows. Two things we're learning from this. One is, are you serving here? Not getting much recognition. Don't worry about it. The one that you're pleasing sees all. And he's taking note of it. And you know what? We're all striving for one thing. And what is it, really? I'm talking about when we get to heaven. To hear his voice just say this to each of us. Individually, where you are, where you're serving, what you're doing, for him to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the promise I have for you. Nothing could be better. Nothing greater. Keep doing what you're doing, but also seek the Lord and how to serve even more. Because a healthy church has members that seek to serve. When the church majority of their members are actively involved in the ministry of the church, using their talents, their gifts, and abilities to serve the body of Christ, it's healthy. Not self-seeking, not looking to get into the higher service, not trying to push Cale about because you think you have a better voice. You know, I'm just stretching all this stuff, you know. Not trying to say, wow, why does he get to play drums and I don't? Not looking at me and saying, why is he teaching? I know just as much as him. No, it's, again, serving where you are, understanding that where you are, God sees it. And in time, if you're faithful in what he's called you to do now, he may lead you to more. Just like Prochorus. Just serving tables. Then he was serving John. Serving as bishop of a church. God just looks for people. He looks them for their heart, that they're available. Here am I, send me. Now, closing this up, look at verse 6. Now, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they lay hands on them. So again, it was very careful here. The apostles, what did they do? They prayed and then they laid hands on them. I just give you a heads up. We're praying right now. We're leading some men to be held more elders here in this church. Not because we're elevating them higher, but what we're doing is we're seeking men to lead, and we're seeking men to carry this ministry further. Further in the sense that, you know, it's not about me. Someday, I know people don't like to talk about death. I don't have a problem with it. I will stay as this pastor as long as the Lord says, keep talking, keep going. Don't stop. And that's what he keeps telling me. That's what I keep doing. And it's not about the numbers. It's about you showing up. I keep teaching. Now, if it's just Caleb and me, Caleb might just go, okay, look, I know Susie comes once in a while. The kids are all grown up. But it's just you and me. What do you think? Not going to be very good to be the one singing, echoing his songs. And I'm sure he's tired of me saying the same stories. In fact, probably I'll probably be wandering off at that time too in my mind. Caleb just has a golden heart. He probably doesn't have the heart to say, Luke, it's time to sit down. But again, there's going to come a time that I am going to have to stop unless the Lord comes. This church isn't about me. It's you guys. You make up the church. So one day, you'll need another lead pastor. And it's time to start having men that are able to seek the Lord, to seek God in these matters. Not just the matters of that, but the whole church. So you will see, again, we're praying about it. But once the hands are laid, notice this, when the apostles laid their hands on them, they're saying, we approve of these guys, that they can do the work that Christ is calling them to do in His name. And we recognize them, we want you to recognize them as, again, as, if you will, not only a hand Christ, but also leaders that come from us. They too will go forward and do what Christ wants them to do. And they will do it in a godly fashion. Now, notice in that too, notice verse 7 again, what happens then? All this trouble and struggle, it seems like it's festering. Then the word of God spread and the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Think about this. Danger avoided. Why? Because the apostles continued to do what they were supposed to do. What was that? To present the gospel message, to teach the word of God, to pray and seek God's leading in all things in the body of Christ. But also make disciples. Teach so that we all learn. Learn so we can all teach. To keep going. But notice who this really impressed was the priests. I find that interesting. Was it because they were always constantly part of a group that were all jostling for position? Look at me. And then they see these group of men and women that go through struggles and they're all in this together. And it's not about them anymore. It's not even about the apostles. They're the ones that are just praying and seeking God and seeking His word and seeking His truth. And these body of belief, these people are loving one another. They really care for one another. They're in there for each other. That when some struggle or problem arises, they don't sit there and break up and separate and have these arguments and discussions. Who's right? Who's wrong? That elder should have had a bigger piece. No, the child should. Jesus said, blessed are they, ye children. Come as a child. No, but an elder, he's somebody that we should look up to and respect. He should have got the bigger piece. No, it's none of that. This is ridiculous. What is it we should be doing? Edifying, glorifying Christ. All things and whatever we do should glory Him. Now, I know this isn't this church, but there's an old story that goes, and if you will, it's something to take note of. See, this family, they were leaving one town and they were going to a different town. And when they got to this other town at the outskirts, right there in the, just the edge of it, they came to a gas station and the old man that was attending the gas station came out. And of course, you know, back then people would always look into you and say, hey, I see you, if you will. What are you doing? Where are you going? Where are you from? And they said, well, we're leaving this town and we're moving into this town. And we'd like to know a little bit about it, especially, see, we left the church And the church was constantly bickering. There was arguments. People were gossiping. People were just mean to each other. And we just want to know, what's the people like, especially in the churches here? And the old man looked at them, looked at their kids, and said, "We're going to find pretty much the same here." And so they drove off, and they were kind of discouraged. Later, this other family came in. And if you will, the discussion was similar in the sense that, you know, we left this town, we're coming in this town. We just kind of want to know what the people are like here. And the old man again wisely asked, "Well, what was the church like where you left?" "Oh, they were so wonderful. They loved each other. They cared for one another. They're always there. It was so hard for us to leave them, but we had to." "What are the people like in the churches here?" "Oh, you'll find them the same. More of the story. What do you bring?" "I already know." "Keep doing it. Don't stop. Look at yourself and say, okay, am I serving for Christ or is it my own flesh? Am I thinking I'm the one that's getting, you know, the short end of the stick, the little piece of ham? Or are you saying, you know, I'm glad that person got the other ham. God bless them. May the Lord bless them and continue to use them. Because I know it's not about that ham. It's about a heart that is giving to God everything that we are so that we can be one in Christ and united in Him. That we continue to care for one another, love one another, seeking God's will constantly. See, that's what a healthy church is. It's you and I in each other's lives. It's you and I caring about each other, loving each other, also listening to each other. Meaning, if there's a problem, then we communicate with each other. If you have a problem with somebody else, then you talk it out with that person. Because I know, as you know something too, that all of us desire here to be about His business, don't we? We're listening to Him. Oh, it doesn't mean we'll always agree on what to serve at the potlucks, what to teach on at the women's or maybe the men's. But what we will do is we'll agree with each other. We want to grow in Christ. And I want to help you to grow. And you know what? I want you to help me to grow. That we're in this together. A healthy body that's in Christ. All for His purpose and for His glory, that we thrive and grow spiritually. Because I do have this one confident thing, that as you and I continue to grow healthy, then this church will be continually to be healthy. And there will be those that will come by and see just how fat you are. I mean spiritually. And say, "Why are you so fat? I've listened to that teacher. It's not him." No, it's because we are in the Word. And we are in the Spirit. And we have come to the conclusion that this is Christ's church. Not yours, not mine. And we just sit at His feet and we feed. Praise God. Because He always leads to the sheep that will humble themselves and follow. Let's pray. Father, just thank You again for the teaching of Your Word is truth. I pray, Lord, for this church. Lord, let us be a healthy church that's fat on Your Word, that's led by Your Spirit, that trusts in Your leading, Lord, in all things. May You be glorified in all things. And help us be united in spirit, knowing, Lord, we are all different, but we're all one in Christ. Bless this body, Lord. Continue, Lord, to do Your work in and through her. And Lord, may she be a blessing in Your heart, a work of Your hands, a light to this dark world. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.